Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
The Senate passed the Paycheck Protection Program and Health Care Enhancement Act with additional funding for the Paycheck Protection Program, hospitals, and testing.
All right, so it did happen. Yes, more money, $484 billion, this bill that would expand that aid that the president just talked about there to businesses and hospitals. Woohoo! We need every cent we can get, right? I'm talking to a lot of entrepreneurs, people that have worked hard, and they're at their wits' end trying to make things happen. How are you? Take a breath, everybody. You know, somebody said to me one time, you know, you just meditate. If you just meditate, you'll feel better. Honestly, how many of you listening to me meditate? You know, I am up to a minute. It is so hard. I am not the person that stands still and thinks of the one word and says it over and over again. Although I was saying, please, please pass this bill. And, of course, this is good news. There are some other things that are happening that is certainly good that we'll talk about. But I got to give you the numbers right from the get-go. And I say this every time I crack open the mic at the beginning of any hour that I do, because you need to know the reality of it. And the reality is, there is an upside because there are people that have recovered. Yay. My favorite thing to really talk about is these great recovery stories. But at least 813,000 cases have been reported of coronavirus in the U.S., 44,661 as of 15 minutes ago, reported, since this all started back at the end of February when a 58-year-old man near Seattle became the first announced death, U.S. death. And then we all started to go on this ride called COVID-19 pretty much by the first week, the end of the first week in March. Like, it was around the 9th or 10th when people started to say, oh, yeah, we have to have social distancing, meaning that was the directives we got from the White House. That's what these daily briefings were. All of a sudden, you had Dr. Fauci and Deborah Bix telling us, okay, this is what's happening. Here's what we know. Here's what we're looking at. And New York became the hardest hit state. Over 20,000 people, close to 20,000 people anyway, have died so far in New York. And really the tri-state area is the reddest spot on any map where you look at deaths, and that's Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. But certainly there are other states that are dealing with this. They're just dealing with it on a smaller scale. And now there is the whole reopening. What is reopening? 40% of the country, according to the president, from what he's gotten from governors, are going to slowly reopen some businesses, whether it's for curbside pickup, whether it's taking half of the available space out of, let's say, a barbershop or a restaurant, whatever that might look like. In Georgia, it's full bore on Friday. So meaning, when I say full bore, you got gyms that'll be open. You have bowling alleys that'll be open. You have tattoo parlors, massage parlors that also find themselves in that position. Hair salons, nail salons, those kinds of businesses officially will kick back open because the governor decided this was a different course that we were going to take, you know, Governor Brian Kemp. And you also have South Carolina, and you've got Texas and Tennessee and Florida that have their own versions of easing of business and recreational closures and social gatherings. That'll start sometime this week, mostly Friday, and the end of April. So it could be a little bit of a slower roll, and then they go from there and see what happens in May. Different story when you're talking about places like Illinois. Illinois, the governor there, Pritzker, is saying, yeah, we're thinking June. In Chicago, they're talking about May is off the table because we haven't even hit the high point yet, the apex of these cases. And the biggest factor is always the number of cases. So while Georgia is already kicking in with, we're ready to roll, Pritzker is saying people should not expect a mass opening of businesses on May 1st. That would be the day the current stay-at-home order is supposed to be lifted. He's saying their staff is looking at it, and they're thinking that they expect this could go into June. In fact, the mayor in Chicago says, Lori Lightfoot, her name is, says she thinks that this goes till the end of June. So it's interesting to watch and important because these are the decision makers, let's face it, as to whether or not you're going to see some reopening of commerce or you're not going to see very much at all. They're the decision makers that are holding the gate in check, I guess, is the best way to put it. So after the big firms put out their hands and grabbed some of the small business funds, and then some had a mea culpa like Shake Shack did, which, thank goodness, they decided, no, we're giving that back because the Paycheck Protection Program is supposed to infuse small businesses. So typically, why? Because less access to quick cash and credit. That's why the emergency money was put into place. But there were at least 94 companies that disclosed getting money, getting the aid, since the program opened on April 3rd, and they were publicly traded. In fact, some, the AP did some digging, some of the market values over $100 million, and about 25% of the companies had warned investors months ago, while the economy was doing well, that their ability to be viable was in question. So that's also intriguing, right? The bottom line is more money kicks in, so people will have access, hopefully, to the money that they need that could save some jobs, that could help people reimagine, reinvent, refocus on what can we do now and how do we take this money and try to make it last and make something more of it, because it's got to be frustrating. It's got to be frustrating, especially when the small businesses thought they were going to get it and they didn't get the funding, and then they saw these companies that had huge margins, and that's not a small business. So that's what the Paycheck Protection Program is meant to get the money quickly to the small businesses, as many, many, many as possible, and not chains like Potbelly and Ruth Chris and Taco Cabana. No, there it is. And that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket for a company that has massive amounts of franchises in some cases. All right, the music means that we are turning the page. Come with me and check out what we have on the other side. It has to do with numbers.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial. antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid and the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
I like the sound of those steel drums. It never gets old for me. All right, it is about numbers. And I say there's numbers everywhere. Sadly, we don't always like the numbers like this whole coronavirus and COVID-19. Unimaginable to think of 44,000-plus people dead in this country from this virus. Imagine that with influenza and what a disaster a second wave could certainly be. So let's move on to what I think is incredible. And he and I would not see eye to eye on most things, but the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, is saying New York City is going to hold a ticker tape parade after the pandemic ends. They decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to have this ticker tape parade, and who are they going to honor? Because think of the thousands of people that would go to this. I mean, thousands. It's going to be for the healthcare workers. And they're saying this is going to be the biggest parade of all. We're already making plans for this. Even this is when they've canceled major events, marathons, parades, concerts for May and June. So the time isn't right, but they say the planning is going to happen. We are planning this, so you can take it to the bank. We're going to have thousands, there's your number, although it's vague, of people line the streets, and we're going to have a ticker tape parade after the pandemic. That would be so cool. The doctors, the nurses, delivery people. I mean, how would you go? I think they're going to honor the healthcare workers. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the healthcare workers. So I think you could open that up to honor other people. But yeah, the healthcare workers. And imagine the floats of different people you could have that would be, I think, really heartwarming. Let's get there first, though. So let's get to that point. I like the idea that there's a plan, but let's focus on getting out of this and surviving and then and thriving and then doing it. So they've dumped a lot of money into research, but they have a lot of money. Bill and Melinda Gates, there's a big story in the Wall Street Journal that they're going to buy Oceanfront Home. They're going to buy a gorgeous home near San Diego for $43 million. Six bedrooms in Del Mar, California. You know who they're buying it from? This is rich people just know rich people, right? From the Pickens family. So Madeline Pickens, who is the former wife of Texas billionaire T. Boone Pickens. It is a different world when you live in that stratosphere, that's for sure. But, hey, the Gates have given a ton of money into the research for a vaccine against COVID-19. It's a crazy amount of money. It's like $250 million. All right, a new survey on what do you do in quarantine, quality time? 4 in 5 parents say coronavirus lockdown has brought the family closer together. Do you really have a choice? So I'm not being caustic. I'm not being sarcastic, all right? According to a survey of 2,000 parents conducted by Mom Poll, 4 in 5 parents believe their families have formed an even stronger relationship since parents and kids have more time together during the lockdown. The survey finds that half of the families are getting together to play board games and make puzzles. They can have fun then, competitive deals that way for a few hours. Another 30% say they form book clubs and read together. You go down the hall, make a right turn, grab that book, and I'll meet you at the coffee shop, which, by the way, doubles for the kitchen table. And let's have our book club. Now, I think it's good. What are you going to do? They say there's going to be more divorces after this whole pandemic, and I think there's going to be a lot of different things after the pandemic. Some people will come through this and be stronger. I don't think that's a surprise, and others will be weaker. But then you ask yourself, well, was there some underlying problem there to begin with? There'll be many things then in relationships that will certainly take on, I think, different meaning. Let's put it that way. How about this one? Rob Gronkowski decided, I'm coming back to football. So the Patriots still had a 1-year deal on him, even though he had stepped away, and it was 1 year, $10 million they would have paid him off. You know, Brady signed a 2-year, $50 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the offseason, and there was rumors that he wanted Gronk with him, and sure enough, Gronkowski says, enough is enough. I'll go play in the sand with my pal Tom Brady. But here's the big question, and I can't answer that. I mean, he'll get his $10 million. And for the 1-year deal, when will we see football? Will they even really get to play together again? I'm optimistic, so I'm going to say yes. But when will that be? Still a big question mark. Who knows? If everything goes as planned, perhaps the season goes on the way it was initially intended to, at least for the NFL anyway, because there's so much disruption to other sports. All right, let's go on to another interesting story. I thought that was, like I said, everything is just loaded with numbers. But one of the things that's been interesting and sad has been commerce and how a few people have seen, a few retailers have seen things turn around a bit because they've had to quickly reinvent what they are offering, and others have just seen a screeching halt come about. And one of them, of course, is oil. The oil price crash deepening has weighed on lots of global markets, of course, on global markets just in general. And we're looking at, U.S. crude oil futures falling 43% on Tuesday to $11.57 a barrel, lowest close in 21 years. Oh, lowest in 21 years. So there's lots of anxiety. And you think of energy producers and large energy producers from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia, and what does that mean, and what other areas of the economy does it affect? And you draw a little mind map, and the answer is it affects a ton of other businesses, some that you are just not even thinking about. Energy producers, just flat on the surface, have lost hundreds of billions of dollars in market value this year, and shares fell again on Tuesday. BP lost at least 3%, as did some U.S. companies. Two producers are unable to shut wells fast enough, and supply cuts by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and other nations have come too late. So traders say that the world is running out of space to store oil, driving prices below zero a barrel for the first time. On Monday is when we first had that brutal, brutal news. Like, some people will say, well, that doesn't affect me. It's cheaper to get gas. No, you got to look around at supply chains and what does that mean for people involved in the petroleum industry in all kinds of ways that you might not even, again, be thinking about. It's always it's the 3 degrees of separation, and then you go from there. Air travel, what is that going to look like once we get out of the pandemic? The redesigning of airplane seats is interesting. They're talking about how can you travel with the normal way that we used to travel, three seats across. There's an Italian manufacturer that has an idea for a seat design that could make it work, and they say that what you would have is this sort of glass partition and a reverse middle seat to mitigate the risk of spreading the coronavirus. So it'd be like you're in a lounge, you have plexiglass that separates everyone, and the guy against the window, or woman against the window, or kid against the window, you're there against the window, and that's it. Then the person in the middle is completely, almost like they're in a pod, and they're facing the other direction. So you would fly backwards. Can you imagine, what would they charge you? You get to fly backwards on American. We'll give you $5 off your seat. If you face forward and you're right next to the plexiglass on the aisle, that's considered premium seating. We charge you $30 more. It's a brilliant idea, right? Because ideas, I'm not going to poo-poo the ideas. What would it cost? Millions, upwards to almost $1 billion to switch out some of these seats. But they're going to have to do something. Are they going to take seats out? How are they going to figure this out? So I applaud anyone who tackles the idea of it, that's for sure. All right, you don't want to miss our next couple of guests coming up. Fascinating conversations. Hang with us.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says America is getting back to work.
We're opening up America again. 20 states representing 40% of the U.S. population have announced that they are making plans and preparations to safely restart their economies.
The Senate has taken action on another relief package for small businesses and medical aid.
Now let's just get this done. Let's move ahead and get it done for the American people.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's frustrated by days of delays before the bill could come to the Senate floor for a vote.
This is a significant package.
Significant because it replenished the drained Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses. Democrats had held out until some of that money was set aside for the smallest of small businesses, as well as funding for hospitals and for coronavirus testing. This is USA Radio News. 20 states are moving to relax some coronavirus restrictions to restart their economy. This despite concerns they may be moving too fast. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham supports the moves of his state's governor, but not those of neighboring Georgia.
What the governor in South Carolina did was a small reopening of retail businesses under limited circumstances. What they're doing in Georgia is they're reopening barbershops and tattoo parlors, and I'm afraid that's a bridge too far.
Protesters marched outside the North Carolina State House in Raleigh, demonstrating against Governor Roy Cooper's stay-at-home orders. There have been similar protests in states across the country. In Washington, D.C., nurses marched near the White House. They said lifting restrictions could put them in harm's way. They were also calling for more federal help for first responders. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man.
I just want you to close your eyes, man, for a second and think about this. Imagine that you've had the opportunity to travel to and live on five continents, visiting 55 countries. Can you imagine the experiences? I have to tell you, when I spoke to this gentleman off the air, my mind was just running wild. I pulled out an atlas and I started looking at, I thought I went to a lot of places. You know that Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere. No, I haven't been as many places as Don Feeney's been. Incredible. His book is called Gathering No Moss, Memoir of a Reluctant World Traveler. You can get it on Amazon.com. And he is our author's corner subject this time around. So Don, I mean, seriously, you know, you are the cocktail party. Anywhere you go, you trump anything. I would even say maybe, I don't know, the Yankees, the Giants a little bit. There's that guy standing over there that he lived on five continents in 55 countries. What did you learn in going to all those places?
Wow, that's quite a build up there. Thank you, Kate. I guess the thing I learned the most is, and I use that as one of my sort of mantras on the back of the book, is the more you know, the more you don't know. And the last word is four letters. It starts with S and ends with T. And as I absorbed more and more around the world, I knew less and less, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, it does make sense. And this is how you started off and where you ended up. you would never have put the two together, right? So you were kind of that guy that got into trouble, had the problems that you have when you're a teenager, when you're doing what you do. And ultimately, you came out and had a realization, wow, I'm living a pretty good life. Take us back to that and what happened when you jumped into the Air Force and how that happened, and you talk about it in your book.
Well, you know, I was a slow learner. Didn't have much desire to do anything in life. Didn't have any heroes. I dreamed of being an astronaut and things like that. I went through school and dropped out of college and went back finally, and then I went into the Air Force because I lost a coin toss. Again, none of these are my own idea. I went AWOL in Germany as a two-striper. I only went to officer training school because I wanted to get out of Northern Maine, being quite honest. So far, I had no real... I hadn't done anything. And what kept me going is people saw things in me I didn't see in myself. And I guess it all acquiesced in Hawaii when I got there as a second lieutenant. I was sitting on the roof of my house and getting some sun, and I stopped and said, wait a minute, you got a great paying job, you're in Hawaii, you're young, you're single, you really got something going here. You should really enjoy this. From that point on, I think I basically went all in and said, I'm just going to do the best I can and not look back so much.
So what a great thing to tell people that are listening to this, not looking back so much. And you had the ultimate hashtag where you talk about, because you've lived this life, been to all these places, and then you retire. And what happens when you retire?
I would say just to everybody out there that are retiring soon, pay close attention, because I didn't, and I wish I did. When you're doing something productive and you're active and you're doing your work and you're all involved in it, when you retire, you suddenly fall off a cliff. And the realization is very, very difficult at first to adjust to. It's kind of like the stages of grief. You know, you have to get through them all and get to acceptance. It's hard, and it's hard. And I think people going through it may want to think about that ahead of time a little bit and maybe read up a little bit on it.
Yeah, and you said, like I said, here's the ultimate hashtag, restartment, not retirement. What's restartment?
Well, I don't think people, I think the idea of retirement is, you know, the old days, you know, you work until you're about ready to pass away, and then you're retired, and that was it. Today's society, people retire a lot earlier, they have a lot more years left. So I coined the term restartment, which is more or less what you do after you're done doing your job, and it's a whole different meaning, and with that kind of emphasis, you can really do a lot of things and look new, feel new and fresh again. It's a nice thing.
Here's what I like about you, that you're resilient, too. I would put that word in there. Because you and I, when we were talking, you had how many wives, and when did you get it right?
Now you're embarrassing me now, okay? I am on my fourth marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Happily married, 30 years. Couldn't be better. But I went through some tough times. My first marriage went quickly. I joined the Air Force after losing a coin toss with my first wife. She went to Montana. I went to Germany. Boom, done. Second one was simple. She was cheating on me with her first cousin that I asked to watch over her while I was in officer training school. Gone. And then the third one was, well, it's a long story, but the third one was the weirdest one. And so before I knew it, I'd already been married and divorced three times.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get under force. The problem with divorce is you can't be undivorced. It stays with you forever. It's part of it. It's something you can't shake off, even though you can move past it, but you can't forget it.
But the great news is, and this is why I wanted to bring this up, is for people listening who feel like they failed, you really got it right. I mean, 30 years, congratulations on that, and you're happy.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. That's the only time I ever proposed was the fourth time. I mean... The other ones just seemed to happen. I don't know what was going on. I'll be honest, I was so unguided, you know. I mean, I was just floating along, you know, not really knowing what I was doing. I had no aspirations. I never thought I'd do or be anything, to be honest with you.
And look what you did. And so I think this book is brilliant for so many people to read. Don Feeney, the name of the book is Gathering No Moss, Memoir of a Reluctant, I like that, Reluctant World Traveler. So your favorite place of all the, and we talked about this, and it's my favorite place, too. I didn't tell you that. What's your favorite place that you've been?
Well, you know, I've probably been asked that about it 6 billion times, but I think the number one place for me is Sicily or Italy in general, but Sicily specifically. I loved it there, the pace, the people, the things to see. The wine is, food is all incredible. My wife's favorite was Australia, and then her second was Turkey, and my second was Australia. So we had some of those in common, but I didn't list Turkey as high as she did. But, you know, it all depends on what you're doing when you're there, too.
Yeah. So you loved Italy, and you look at the places you told us about, the Hawaii deal and how that changed your mindset. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about leaving Australia. A lot of people dream. Australia's on everyone's bucket list. What is it about Australia?
I don't know. It's funny you ask that, because I found all through the book when I sat down to write that every time I left the place for the final time is when I really picked up and thought about everything and put it in some kind of perspective. And it always happens to me as I leave a country for the last time. Australia was friendly. I made really good friends. We did a lot of fun stuff. The Australians are crazy. If you had the time, I could tell you some stories. You wouldn't believe it. But they're just crazy, fun people. At the time, this was in the early 2000s, they didn't have overpopulation or immigration problems. They had an easy health care system. It wasn't broke. And everything was just, I don't know, it's like America in the 50s, you know. It's really very, very clean and innocent.
I like that. I love that you painted that picture. It's like America in the 50s. And again, the book is Gathering No Moss, Memoir of a Reluctant World Traveler. You're going to want to go everywhere when you read Don's book. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Oh, it's undeniable to me, Kate. The most important thing to me is that I concentrated all the way through it to make it about the reader and not about the author. Mm. I don't care how good you can write. If the reader doesn't want to read it, they're not going to read it. And so I try to use thought-provoking questions and examples and try to pull the reader in all the time, like, what would you do in this situation? Has this ever happened to you? Those kind of things to try to keep the readers, connected. Because if they're not connected, it may be a great book, but they'll start to get bored and they'll start to wander and they'll either plod through it or they'll just stop reading it. And I didn't want that to be the case for Gathering No Moss.
Yeah, you wanted people to definitely be able to get through it, feel good about it, and maybe and of course think about their own life. And you know what, you got to credit that wife, because your wife really prodded you into writing it. How long did it take to write it? And when you were finished, was she just elated?
Yeah, I think it was hard on her because she had to read all the bad stuff, you know, the divorces and growing up poor. And my father is an abuser and stuff. And we had a lot of cancer in our family. Everyone in our family got cancer. We were living in Pittsburgh in the 50s right next to the steel mills, and we all got hammered different ways. All different kinds, but we all got it. So it wasn't really hereditary. It was more environment than anything. She kept pushing me when I wanted to stop. I thought, this ain't going to work. Why am I doing this? I can't put this stuff down on paper. But she stayed with me, and I can't remember if it was 14 or 16 months. I'm not sure. It was over a year where I grinded every single day. You know, some days I couldn't finish a page, other days I could knock out 20. You wrote a book. You know how that's like, eh?
Yeah. I like the word you used, and I think there's something to that, too, for everything that you accomplished. Like you said, the background that you came from and overcoming it and realizing it and having that moment is because you knew how to grind. You did. Mm-hmm. You figured out a way to grind, even if it wasn't perfect and it wasn't the way you thought it was going to be, especially with the Air Force, because you know, it's different when you're in the military. So you learn something from being in the military and then took that out on the other side. Well, again, the hashtag is brilliant. I say it's the hashtag. It's restartment, not retirement. This book will take you away to some incredible places, and a lot of people would like to be taken away, especially these days, Gathering No Moss. Memoir of a Reluctant World Traveler. Don Feeney, what a delight. Thanks so much for sharing your story, and everybody pick it up. I'm serious. You'll love it.
I enjoyed it, Kate. Thank you very much. It was really nice talking to you. Aloha.
Aloha, that's right. Mahalo. Thanks.
And mahalo, correct. Yeah, right.
Thank you.
In the middle of a crisis, crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Starting. 383.
715. He's got the best seat in the house and the best sense of humor. Editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest, Rick Cerrone, joins us. You know, his history, we talked to him before. He was the VP of Public Relations for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 87 through 93. Can you imagine the stories? Senior Director of Media Relations from 96 through 2006 for the New York Yankees. Seriously, the New York Yankees. I'm just going to give you a clue. Think Steinbrenner. And yesterday I went to my mailbox and I was so thrilled. A lot of you know my story and what it took to get on the other side of the mic and sort of break the glass ceiling, even though so many guys in sports were amazing to me and helpful to me, like Mark Chernoff, who gave me such a great break at WFAN. And you all know that history from my book. Well, talk about making history. For the first time in the 79-year history of Baseball Digest, a woman in a major league uniform on the cover, and not just one, it's actually two, and both topped the coaching ranks with their organizations this year. I'm giving you hints. San Francisco Giants and the New York Yankees. Rick Cerrone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Kate, and thanks also for giving me the title to my book, if I ever write one, The Best Seat in the House, though I've got to think that was taken at some point.
Yeah, I used to say I have the cheap seats. I'm in the media. Cheap seats.
I really had the best seat in the house because when you're sitting in the front row of the press box, nobody's sitting in front of you. So you got a countertop. It's amazing. So TV monitor, best seat in the house.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to go down a quick rabbit hole. When you talk about the press box at Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium,
mm-hmm.
I covered the Rangers and the New York Yankees in the playoffs, which was a shocker that the Rangers got there, and we knew the Yankees were going to knock them off. So I was there traveling with the Rangers, and everybody was great to me in New York because, of course, I'm from the area, and they treated me like royalty. I was the only one. All the writers were furious at me. But I was doing shows, and I was practically the only one in Yankee Stadium because we did them late, and it was so wild to just have that perspective of being in the press box and being alone with just a couple of crew guys and seeing what that looked like. It was absolutely amazing. So you really did have a good seat. There's no question about
that. I really
did.
And you talk about, you know, back then when you sort of broke the glass ceiling and now, you know, jump ahead. I think the amazing thing about this, if I can take a second, is that this started out with Rachel Balkovec, who was hired by the Yankees, the first woman to be in the uniform. She'll be the hitting coach at Class A Tampa. And then 2 weeks later or so, the Giants hired Alyssa Nacken to be a major league coach. So we started out with the intention of one woman in uniform on the cover and fortunately ended up with two wonderful young women. And it brought me back to 1959 when Baseball Digest had a woman in uniform on the cover. But the uniform, jersey only, was of the Las Vegas Dunes Hotel, and she was a Vegas showgirl and the daughter of a former major league pitcher named Rip Sewell.
Wow.
And, you know, the story, they actually wrote in the story, and I'm paraphrasing, but because baseball is available only to male offspring, these lovely ladies have to find their success in other fields. So
wow.
Jump ahead 61 years, you know, not anymore. I can't tell you how proud I am and everyone at Baseball Digest is that we were able to portray these two major league coaches on the cover of our magazine.
Yeah, so the decision that went into that, what made you decide, okay, I'm going to do this because it's about time, they've earned it, this is intriguing, what was it?
You know, I think that's it, Kate. It's time. I mean, we're always looking for something on the cover. I mean, now I'm working on July, August. I can't tell you what I'm thinking, but based on the situation and what we're living through right now, I've got some ideas what needs to be the cover. I mean, it can't just be, you know, will Anthony Rendon make a difference to the Angels, because we don't know even when the season, if there is one, will start. So it needs to be something special. And I was basically told for this issue, you know, think outside the box, not the same old rote that, you know, this player or that player would. And, you know, when Rachel got hired, I made a call to Brian Cashman, who I worked with obviously for many years, and just his enthusiasm about the idea and his, you know, cooperation and whatever, you know, like his cooperation was basically whatever you need. Well, you know, we need the author of the piece, Allison Footer from MLB.com, to have access to Rachel. Done. We need a photo shoot. Done. So, you know, and then, as I said, a couple weeks later, the Giants announced that they were hiring Alyssa as a major league coach, and we added her and other women as well. You have the issue, so you'll read the story. There are other women in on-field roles, and we kind of use these two ladies as kind of like, you know, the focal point.
Yeah, I mean, the reaction to this, and it's just coming out, so I think you're going to get waves of reaction, but initial reaction from some people who have already seen it.
Oh, I think it's been spectacular. I mean, anybody that I've sent it to, and yesterday we sent out, the cover and a lot of press releases to media, and I'm getting responses like, you know, wow, unbelievable, thank you. I got a nice response from Rachel via Twitter. I guess you can personally send someone a Twitter thing. And she could not have been more excited, and she told me how excited Nike was. Because apparently she's wearing a custom-made female uniform.
Yeah.
And Nike looks at it, and her words were, they're looking at it like a historic moment for Nike. So I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. But, you know, it's, I mean, look, it is historic because I'll also tell you that, and I've done a lot of research on this, so this is clearly the first time that a woman in a major league uniform has been on the cover in our 79-year history. Because you had Sally Sewell in her Dunes jersey
in 1959. In like 1944, there was a cut and paste job with a Hollywood starlet who was made to be appearing to be standing behind the pitching mound while I think Hal Newhouser was throwing a pitch in like a, you know, spring training or something. But obviously that was a cut and paste job. But this is the first time in our 79-year history that a woman in a major league uniform has appeared on the cover. But if you think about it, when has a woman in a major league uniform, a woman in baseball, mm-hmm. Not a model, not Shakira, not Madonna wearing a Dodgers jersey or Beyonce wearing it, you know, when has a woman in baseball been on the cover in a major league uniform in any magazine? I don't think it's ever happened.
No, I can't. And I'm right. My brain was doing that yesterday. I was thinking Sports Illustrated. Well, I was trying to think, and I couldn't figure any. I don't think so.
Well, I will tell you that in 2013, Kate Upton is on a cover with the Upton brothers. To get the, you know, the,
yeah,
what they were going for there, on the cover of a 2013 Sports Illustrated. And she's on their shoulders, and she's wearing a full Atlanta Braves uniform. But clearly, that's not a woman. She may be now married to Justin Verlander, but it's not what we're going with. Not a woman in baseball, so to speak, a coach, or something right. like that. So I, give props to Kate Upton. She's the only other one I've found.
Wow. Incredible. All right. Quickly, we'd be remiss not to tell everyone this. Make sure you pick up this magazine. It's a great magazine anyway. Rick Cerrone, editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest, making history with the women, two incredible women coaches on the cover for the first time in the 79-year history of Baseball Digest. Where are we at with baseball? What do you think happens?
Well, I'm telling you this, and I say this to everyone I talk to. I am telling you this with authority. You can take this. Because I've got authority on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows anything. You know, baseball is working on an umpteen number of different scenarios. If it starts on this date, this date, this date, this date. We just don't know. I mean, I like to think baseball is going to start to some degree, I want to say in July. I like the idea of split seasons. Where the first season, the first half, which gets division winners, is to be played in front of, in spring training parks with no fans, but announced that the second half, starting on whatever date it might be, is going to be back in the major league parks, and then you split the seasons with the All-Star game. Heck, I've had people tell me that's a great idea. I don't know if that's feasible, but, they're looking at, and I'm sure they're looking at that or something close to that. So, I think we're in good hands. Look, there's things to be negotiated here, because if you're playing in front of no fans and you lose revenue, I don't think baseball is going to be able to compensate the players with their regular salaries. That might be the sticking point right there as to why we don't play.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think there will ultimately be a level of cooperation. Players are going to understand that people are not going to tolerate holding out for your, millions of dollars when, people are out of work and whatnot. But there are a lot of logistical issues that they're dealing with, and you just have to, I feel very comfortable that we're in good hands with the people making these decisions.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rick Cerrone, always a pleasure to have you on the show, editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. Always a pleasure.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.